الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة حاميم السجدة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن احسن قولا ممن دعا الى الله وعمل صالحا وقال انني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنه ولا السيئه ادفع بالتي هي احسن فاذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوه كانه ولي حميم وما يلقاها الا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها الا ذو حظ عظيم فاما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله انه هو السميع العليم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Those of you who were present last evening, they know the two ayat of the lesson that we discussed yesterday still remain to be discussed. I'm sorry that our timing is not going correctly, but these things cannot be controlled. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. These seven ayat, Ayat 30 to 36 of Surah Al-Hamim al-Sajda, they comprise the fourth and the last lesson of part one of the selected course of study that we are discussing in these sessions. And this in itself can be divided into two parts. The first three ayat we discussed fully, and they give us what we can call martabae vilayat or martabai ihsan, the level of iman, the level of mu'min, the highest level which a mu'min can attain. In the words of the Quran, it is either ihsan, wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, or it is wilaya, ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. So we discussed these three ayat, the 30th, 31st and 32nd ayat of Surah Hamim Sajda, and compared them to the three ayat of Surah Yunus, 62 to 64. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun allatheena amanu wa kanu yattaqun lahum al-bushra fil hayati ad-dunya wal akhirah ila akhir al-ayah. Now people who attain to this level, I told you that their first priority and their first preoccupation in this world, in which they would invest themselves, their time, their energies, their capabilities, their intelligence, their faculty of speech, their faculty of understanding, would be to call people towards Allah, or in other words, to call people to the path of Allah. And that is actually discussed in the remaining four ayat, which I have recited today also. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. This ayah we discussed. Who can be better in his speech? Every human being has a tongue to speak. Every human being has been endowed with the faculty of speech. But the use to which everyone is putting it is different. Somebody using this faculty only to earn money, and that's all. the pleaders, the lawyers, they actually encash their faculty of speech. The better a person can express and argue, the more fee he gets. In the same way, the demagogues, the leaders, public leaders, who can make fiery speeches, they become political leaders of the nations. But all these uses of this faculty are actually not worthless. The best use is, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Who can be better in his speech than a person who called others to Allah or to his path? And when calling towards Allah or to his path, his own character, his own seerah, his own behavior, that should be according to the dawah that he is presenting to the people. عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Otherwise, this dawah will go in vain. Rather, he will bring bad name. Even the dawah, the call, the message that he is conveying, maybe the best message. But if people look to his own character, his own behavior, his own attitude, and it is not up to that message, then they might be disillusioned about the message itself. So here, amal-e-salih actually, that is mentioned as a support, a necessary prerequisite for a successful dawah. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. This last part of this ayah, as I told you, is either expressing humility, not arrogance. I am also a Muslim. I am also a sinning person. I also commit mistakes. But let us get up. Let us try to reform ourselves together. Let us go towards the path of Allah. Let's go on trying to be better and better in Islam and Iman. So that should be the way. That should be the attitude. Not that a person who is making da'wah towards Allah, he looks down upon other people. He thinks himself that he is something else. إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And secondly, he shouldn't start any new sect. Don't have any other identification except Islam. هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the best name, al-Muslimun. So actually, if you adopt another name, another identity for yourself, it's not good. You can, you know, if a person thinks that, you know, the Mazhab-e Hanafi or Mazhab-e Maliki, as regards the school of fiqh, this appears to him to be preferable, he can practice it, no harm. But he should identify himself only as a Muslim. Now then, as I told you, wherever there is dawah towards the truth, there must come some persecution, some resentment. Al-haqqu murrun. Truth is always bitter. Now in this conflict, now the requirement is to be steadfast, to have patience. But here we find in this passage, at this place of the Quran, a higher level, rather the highest level of sabr. You know, sabr, patience, steadfastness, forbearance. For that it is sufficient that if somebody is doing bad to you, you just tolerate it. Not retaliate with anything bad. But the highest level is idfa billati hiya ahsan. They are doing harm to you, you try to do good to them. Defend in the best way. Return. Not only that you are not returning anything bad, rather give them something good. If they are stoning you, throwing stones upon you, you present them flowers. If they are calling names to you, Shai, Majnoon, pray for them. O Allah, guide these people. Guide my nation. Ihdi qawmi, innahum la ya'lamoon. They are misguided. They don't know. They actually don't know what they are doing. So this should be the attitude. This is the highest attitude of sabr. Highest level of sabr. But for this, how natural is this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first of all enunciating a universal truth. Nobody can deny it. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. Good and evil cannot be equal. Can anybody argue against it? Deny it? Good is good, evil is evil. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة. Now naturally, the result of good should be good. The result of evil should be evil. So if somebody is doing evil to you, you do good to him. You want a good result, good response. So you do good to him. What will be the result? ادفع بالتي هي احسن فاذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة. It will come to happen that the same person between whom and you was enmity. كانه ولي حبيب. He may turn into a friend, into a supporter. A lover of yours, a supporter of yours, a very sincere supporter, very sincere comrade, very sincere, you know, rafiq in the way of Allah. He might become from among your hawariyin. So actually, this is the result of doing good to those who are doing bad to you, who are doing harm to you. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. But this level cannot be attained except by those who have patience, who have forbearance. Now see, all those four things which we had in Surah Al-Asr, they are mentioned here also. إِيمَان إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And in ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, عَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ is also mentioned. Then, تَوَاسِي بِالْحَقِّ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Then تَوَاسِي بِالصَّبْرِ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. You know, this highest level cannot be attained except by those who have patience, who have forbearance, who are steadfast. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And this position and high level cannot be attained except by those who are fortunate par excellence, who have the greatest good fortune. حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. حَظ, fortune. حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, greatest fortune. This level can be attained only by those. I told you last evening that this level, if we keep it in mind, the most complete model of this level is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. What he was doing at Makkah, calling people towards Allah, and he was being persecuted. Everything was being said of him. He's shy, he's majnoon, he's deceiving us. He's taking dictation from a learned person whom he has kept in his house secretly. He gets dictations. Every morning, every evening. And then he comes, says that it is a revelation which is coming to me. All these things. But what he was doing? Praying to Allah. Standing in the night, praying for their guidance. Oh Allah, guide them. And he was taking names of people. Oh Allah, out of these two people who are very important, Amr ibn Hisham and Umar ibn Khattab, please give me at least one out of these two. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the prayer in respect of Umar ibn Khattab, and he became Umar the Great, Umar al-Farooq, radiyallahu ta'ala. So this is the way the Prophet was behaving. Even on the day of Taif, when he was stoned and his whole body was bleeding, and due to bleeding, he felt weak, he sat down. And two street urchins came, and they took his arms, one the right arm, the other left, lifted him, go! That was the treatment given to him. The spirits of Taif, and the beloved of Allah, Habibullah. And this was the state of affairs. But even then, when he was returning from Taif, the angel of the mountain, he came to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me. If you like, I will make these two mountains collide between which this valley is there, in which this city of Taif, you know, exists, so that all these people who have given you so that treatment, they are crushed. He said, no, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides their progeny. No, their children may accept this message. So that was the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we find this level in the lives of the awliya Allah, Sufiya, who dedicated all of their life to the propagation of Islam and calling people towards the way of Allah or towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing, they went to far fledged places. Shaykh Mohinuddin Ajmeri came over to Ajmer when it was the heart of Hindu empire, the Rajput kingdom. It was not still included in the Islamic world. He came there, sat there, and hundreds and thousands of people, they embraced Islam at his hand. But whole life devoted to the calling towards Allah. And people, if they are doing something bad for them, well, no return in the same coin. Only praying for them, doing good to them. لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. But please note one thing. This is actually which I call maqam da'wah, level of da'wah. There is a higher level also. And that is the level of iqamatuddin. When you have to establish the deen of Allah, that requires a revolutionary struggle. And in a revolutionary struggle, you have to come face to face with the enemies of Allah. Fight them in battles. And this character, that won't do. Now you have to kill the enemies of Allah. Because إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already purchased the lives and worldly belongings of the mu'mins in return for Jannah. And that is why now they are going to war for the cause of Allah. And they are killing others, the enemies of Allah, who are opposing the establishment of Islam as a deen, as a system of life, as a political, socio-economic system, and they are being killed also. They are laying down their own lives. They are being martyred. So that level is different. Because then we have two phases of the struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Makki phase, it was the phase of da'wah. And that was actually what has been depicted here. But now after Hijrah, the Madani phase, now this is the phase of revolution, active resistance, challenging the batil, challenging the false system. And for that, now there was revenge. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Go to war against those who are waging war against you. Fight them out. Now pay them in the same coin. Go ahead. So that is also one of the phases. But that we shall be discussing, inshallah, in the fourth section of this selected course of study. Here it is only da'wah. Da'wah is something else. Because awliya Allah and Sufiya, they were at this level. None of them took the other level. They never went to war for the cause of Allah. Neither Shaykh Ali Hajmeri nor Shaykh Mu'inuddin Ajmeri, rahimahum Allah, none of them. So actually there we find this, the embodiment of this character, this level, which is the Makki part. And let me quote here a very poisonous sentence, very poisonous, venomous sentence of Toynbee. Toynbee, who is generally taken to be the greatest philosopher of history of this time, this century. He said a very profound but very venomous sentence. Muhammad failed as a prophet, but succeeded as a statesman. Because at Mecca, He appears to be a prophet, even if he doesn't accept him to be a prophet. But he appears to be a prophet because he was like Jesus. His role was like the role of Jesus, calling people towards Allah, not going to war. His role was like the role of John the Baptist, the cry from the wilderness. So there he appears to be, at least. He is having the role of a prophet, and there he failed. And according to their wordings that they use, he had to flee, he had to run away. MaazAllah, it was hijrah. Not actually fleeing away or running away. MaazAllah, there's a world of difference between the two. These things we'll be discussing, inshallah, later on. But what he says is that at Medina he was a statesman, he was a warrior, he was a commander of the army. There he succeeded as a statesman. So this is the venomous sentence, and this sentence, one sentence of Taibbi. Dr. Montgomery Watt, he has written two volumes on Seerah, Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, he has tried to bring out this contrast of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad at Mecca, one volume. Muhammad at Medina, the other volume. As if there are two Muhammads, not one. At Mecca you see another Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At Medina you see another Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, these are the two phases of the same process. If you have in mind Iqamatuddin, because the next surah in the Quran, this is Surah Hamim Sajda, the next is Shura, Surah Shura. And the central theme of Surah Shura is An Aqimuddin wa la tatafarraqu fihi. This is ayah number 13, Surah Shura. Iqamatuddin. That is why in that surah you will find وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُهُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commending those people, those mu'mins. When something wrong is done to them, they take revenge. Because at the level of iqamatuddin, you have to take the revenge. You have to fight who fight you. You have to pay them in the same coin. But at the level of da'wah, this is the rule. You may call this one as the bhikshus of Buddhism. Because, you know, at Mecca, there's no doubt. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُمْ. They were behaving in this way, calling towards the path of Allah, not retaliating, not doing any harm to anybody, not taking any revenge, no retaliation. But on the contrary, in return of their bad things, they were doing good things to them. And that is actually necessary thing for da'wah to proceed and succeed. But that is not all. After da'wah, then iqamatuddin. When you have to establish deen of Allah as a political, socio-economic system, now the requirements will be different. That, inshallah, we shall discuss later. Now the final ayah. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. And if you find sometimes any prompting or inciting or whispering of the shaitan, of Satan, that he also wants you to reply in the same coin, you feel some anger, and out of that anger you feel to retaliate or give the reply in the same coin, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Immediately seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shouldn't become angry. Whatever they are doing to you, take it patiently. From your side, they should be good. There should only be kindness. There should always be prayers for their guidance. Because at that phase, it is necessary. Otherwise, this dawah will not spread. You won't get the people with whom to go and challenge, to go ahead and challenge batil, challenge falsehood. You need people. To gather people, you have to make dawah. The dawah to be successful has to fulfill these conditions. So if you feel that you are becoming emotional and you feel that there is some anger coming up within you, always think it is from shaitan. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ. If you feel that this shaitan is inciting you to reply them in the same coin, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. Fasta'iz billah, innahu huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Verily, he is all listening, all knowing. He listens to everything. Whatever somebody is saying about you, he is listening. He knows. There is the ayah in the Quran. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know very well that your chest is shrinking due to what they are saying to you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt the grief. The same people were saying to me, As-Sadiq, Al-Amin, and now they have become my enemies. They say, I am a liar, I am a deceit, I am only a poet. I never said any poetry before. Never in my life. I passed 40 years with them. I have never passed any time with any poet. And I never said any poetry. Now they say, he is a poet. And he is a magician, sahir. He is majnoon. He has gone crazy. His mental balance is gone. Some evil spirit has possessed him. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And you find Surah Al-Muzzammil, وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Have patience on what they are saying. Bear it. With patience. There should be no retaliation. During this phase of dawah, till that time that you have enough strength with you to come in the field and challenge falsehood, challenge shaitan, challenge the Nizamul Batil, till that time, it is necessary. No retaliation, no revenge. And if you feel that something is coming up from the depths of your own personality, always think it is from shaitan. And take refuge, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And please note one principle of the exegesis of Quran. Important subjects are discussed in the Quran at least twice. There are so many examples. We find this very ayah in Surah Al-A'raf also. This very ayah. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. The only difference is, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. There is the adjective in the common noun. And here it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in proper noun. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And there it is, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. That's all. The only difference is, this very minor difference, otherwise the same ayah. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Now I propose to present before you a comparative study of the four lessons that are included in part one of this selected course of study. As I told you, in all the four lessons, the same four prerequisites or preconditions for salvation or success are given. Although the terminology is different, different words are used, but you will find that all these four places of the Quran, they contain, it is in the form, you know, of a graph. And the graph is always has, you know, a horizontal line, the baseline. And then, you know, a perpendicular line. These are the levels. Baseline, Surah Al-Asr. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Iman, righteous deeds, enjoining one another to the truth, and enjoining one another to patience. Now you come to the higher level, Ayatul Birr. This is the level of virtue. What is virtue? Again you will find, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. All five articles of faith. Iman enunciated. Five articles of faith described. Then giving alms, that is the گڈ ڈیز وآت المال علی حبہ ذوی القربى والیتامى والمساکین وابن السبیل والسائلین وفی الرقاب. دین دیر از وقام الصلاۃ وآت الزکاۃ والموفون بعہدہم اذا عاہدوا. دین آن دی تھرڈ لیول امپلائڈ بٹ ناٹ کلیئرلی ڈسکسڈ ہیئر اینڈ دیٹ از طواف بالصبر. بٹ دین وی ہیو پیشنس والصابرین فی البأساء والضراء وحین البأس اولئک الذین صدقوا واولئک هم المتقون. دس از ہائر لیول متقی. دیز آر دی متقی. دیز آر دی گاڈ فیئرنگ گاڈ کانشیس. ناؤ یو کم ٹو دی تھرڈ لیول اینڈ دیٹ از دی سیکنڈ سیکشن آف سورۃ لقمان. ہیئر یو فائنڈ اباؤٹ ایمان یا بنی لا تشرک باللہ ان الشرک لظلم عظیم. Then about ma'ad or you know the reward of the deeds. Ya bunayya innaha in takum misqala habatin min khardalin fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi yati bihi Allah inna Allah latiful khabir. The deeds, practical deeds. Now you have good behavior with your parents. Anishkur li wa li walidayk ilayya al-masir. Then there is ya bunayya aqim as-salah, established prayer. Then there should be humility, not arrogance. There should be balance. Keep on the middle road. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Then the third thing, أَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Enjoin virtue and forbid whatever is indecency. What is munkar? What is evil? So أَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, this is the term of the Quran. And then we have وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Then have patience on whatever comes to you, whatever befalls you. Now this is the fourth lesson. And here we find Surah Hamim as-Sajda. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. This is the highest level of iman. Whosoever says Allah is my creator, my sustainer, my provider, my protector, my benefactor, and then sticks to it, is firm on it. Then we have وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that is عَمَلِ صَالِحًا. Then the third, دَعْوَهْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And the fourth thing, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. The same four things. So actually, this is to emphasize that these four things are essential for success. First of all, for being saved from the fire of hell. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And I quoted the saying of Imam Razi رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. اعلم أن هذه الآية فيها وعيد شديد لأن الله تعالى حكم بالخسار على جميع الناس إلا من كان آتيا بهذه الأشياء الأربعة فدل ذلك أن النجاة معلقة بمجموع هذه الأشياء. Salvation is conditional to all these four things. All these four things are necessary. That only iman will be able to give you, you know, to save you from the fire of hell. Unless there is amal salih also. Unless you are calling people also towards the path of Allah. And unless you are now showing patience and forbearance in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these four things which are logical, they are necessary. So this is actually a comparative study. And now, in Urdu I have this, and the copies will be available to those who understand Urdu language. They will, inshallah, get it after this dars. Now we come to the next lesson, and this is Suratul Qiyamah. And this is actually the fifth and the last lesson of part two. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه بلى قادرين على أن نصوي بنانه بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه يسأل أيان يوم القيامة فإذا برق البصر وخسف القمر وجمع الشمس والقمر يقول الإنسان يومئذ أين المفر كلا لا وزر الى ربك يومئذ المستقر ينبأ الانسان يومئذ بما قدم واخر بل الانسان على نفسه بصيره ولو القى معاذيره لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به ان علينا جمعه وقرانه فاذا قراناه فاتبع قرانه ثم ان علينا بيانه كلا بل تحبون العاجله وتذرون الاخره وجوه يومئذ ناظره الى ربها ناظره ووجوه يومئذ باسره تظن ان يفعل بها فاقره كلا اذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق وظن انه الفراق والتفت الساق بالساق الى ربك يومئذ المساق فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب الى اهله يتمطى اولى لك فاولى ثم اولى لك فاولى ايحسب الانسان ان يترك سدى الم يك نطفه من مني يمنى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فاجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى بلى إن الله على كل شيء قدير ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين صدق الله العظيم. Now by this lesson of ours, please note a few points, preliminary points. I told you in my first lecture regarding the introduction to the Quran that number one, the style of Quran is that of oratory. And I have recited this surah just as an orator addresses an audience. And this style of the Quran can best be understood with reference to the early Meccan surahs, oration. And you know what are the constituents and necessary aspects of oration. In the oration, you have an audience before you. And what those people think, the speaker, the orator, whosoever is addressing them, he keeps in mind what are their beliefs, what are their thoughts. And he doesn't refer to those in words because it is understood. I know what you think. So actually, those things you can understand between the lines. And unless you know what are the beliefs and thoughts of the people who are being addressed, you won't be able to understand that piece of oration that has to be kept in mind. Then in oration, oratory, there is change of address. Sometimes those people who are present, they are addressed as if they are not present, in the third person. Sometimes those who are not present in the audience, the speaker addresses them as if they are present there in the audience. Then there is a change of audience without any verbal, in words, it is not mentioned that now I want to address those people, and because in writing you have to say it. But when you are addressing an audience and you are delivering an oration, these things are absolutely understood. Second point that should be understood here, this is a very early Meccan surah, and we have just recently studied a nearly of the same size, the surah, that is Madani. 18 ayat, 2 rukus of Surah Al-Taghabun. This surah, Surah Al-Qiyamah, also consists of 2 rukus or 2 sections. But now compare. In my Mushaf, 28 lines are occupied by Surah Al-Taghabun and only 16 by this Surah Al-Qiyamah. But the number of ayat is there 18 and here it is 40. Small ayat, very conspicuous rhythm, sound effect very prominent, flow is very fast. You can compare it to a river in the mountainous region and a river which is flowing in the plains. Those who have seen River Indus in the mountainous region and the same river in the plains of Punjab, what's the difference? The breadth is very small, but depth is great. When it enters the plain of Punjab, now the width is very, very big. 14 miles, 16 miles. But now the depth is not that much. There, you know, it's flowing very fast with fraught and fierce ferocity. Velocity as well as ferocity. But in the plain, a calm and quiet flow. So this is actually the difference between the early Meccan surahs and the later Meccan surahs. For example, in Suratul Araf, Suratul Anam, this is not the condition, because they were revealed in the last part, last 4 years of the stay of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Mecca after the beginning of Wahi, just before Hijrah. And that is the same case which we find with the Madani surah. The style is different. And here you find ayat are very small, the flow is very rapid, then small ayat having very clear sound effect. Now you must have noted that in this surah, 6 ayat in the beginning, they have one type of ending. Now what should I call it? Fawasil they call in tafasir, and we call it kafiya in ashar. Kawafi, but in Quranic verses, Quranic ayat, they are fawasil. These fawasil are similar. But then in the next 7 ayat, a different style comes. Then next 6 ayat, different style comes. Then again, in the next 6 ayat, style is different. As we shall be reading again, inshallah, it will become very conspicuous. But then the last 10 ayat, they have one type of ending, one type of fawasil, the same sound effect. So actually, these surahs are those surahs which moved the people, about which, you know, this couplet from Maulana Hali is very good. Wo bijli ka kadka tha ya saut-e haadi, Arab ki zameen jisne saari hila di. There was a sort of, what I can say, a zalzala, an earthquake coming over. What he's saying? These pieces of literature, their literary beauty, because the Arabs had a very deep taste, very fine taste of literature. Poetry as well as oratory. When these orations came, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was proclaiming them, and he stood, and he was addressing people with these ayat, he never made his very few speeches we find from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own khutbahs, very few. Wherever he went, he presented Quran, he read out Quran, he recited Quran to the audience. And this became the medium of his dawah. So with these preliminary points, let us now study this surah. But for that also, keep one thing in mind. The main subject of this surah is the Iman bil Akhirah. That there is going to be resurrection. Then you will be rewarded according to your deeds. Good reward for good deeds. Punishment for the bad deeds. This is what we call Iman bil Akhirah. Now what was the controversy, we must understand first of all. The people who were being addressed by Quran, or for that matter by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they believed in Allah. There was none there. Maybe some microscopic minority who didn't believe in Allah. Just possible. But all people believed in Allah. They believed that Allah is the sole creator of the whole universe. In that way they were muwahideen. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth? They will surely say Allah. So there was no, in their beliefs, creation was only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only they believed in some small gods also, gods and goddesses. And they thought, they recommend us, you know, they are the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are like daughters to Allah. And though, you know, banat, daughters. And just, you know, as a father cannot refuse anything that the daughter is asking, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not refuse. If these daughters of Allah, they recommend us for anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. So that is why we are worshipping them also. They are actually our recommenders with Allah. هَاُولَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These gods and goddesses, this Hubble and Lat and Uzza and Manat, they are our recommenders. They are shufa'a. Haulai shufa'auna indallah. Number one, this point should be absolutely clear. That they believed in Allah. They believed that He is the sole creator of all universe, all heavens, or all earth. and he has no partner in creation. But you know, in the working of this world, this universe, there are assistants, there are his deputies, there are some, you know, deities who are very dear to him, and they will actually, if they recommend us to him, he will grant their request. So that was their position about Allah or Iman Billah. Secondly, some of them did believe in Akhirah also. But then they said that these, you know, goddesses and gods, they will recommend us, they will help us there. If they recommend us, Allah will forgive us. Allah will take us to Jannah. And we need not do anything else because we are worshipping them. So they will recommend us. But there was quite a large number of people in Arab at that time who were being addressed, you know, by Quran and by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who refused to accept Akhirah. And the basis of their refusal was, how is it possible? When we shall die and, you know, we shall become just clay, and there will be only bones will remain, old bones, how can they be resurrected? How can we be, you know, raised from the dead? How is it possible that even our forefathers who died long before, they will also be resurrected? Aba abawna al-awwalun. Hayhata matu adun. No, it's impossible. It's a very far-fetched thing that Muhammad is saying. It's impossible. So this is actually their position. And keeping this position in view before you, then if you read these ayats, then you will understand. Because who are the people who are being addressed? And what was their belief regarding Allah? They believed Allah. But actually, the only thing was that they are not accepting the resurrection. Ba'se ba'dal maut. They are not accepting it. So as we found in Surah Al-Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one ayah, زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَىٰ وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّوْنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ. These people are under the wrong notion that they will not be resurrected. They will not be raised from the dead. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely, and I swear by my Allah, by my Rabb, by my Creator and Sustainer, you will be resurrected. لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّوْنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ. And then you will be told and apprised of what you have done in this world. So actually, we can say that this whole surah, Suratul Qiyamah, is the exposition of that one ayah of Suratul Taghabun. The same style, the same thing discussed at length. And some of the points which have been discussed here, we discussed those points in our introductory lecture to the Quran. The compilation of the Quran, how it was compiled, this is also discussed here. So because these subjects have already been discussed, inshallah, we shall be able to complete the study of this surah, although it is a lengthy surah, 40 ayat, but inshallah, we shall be able to complete it today. Now we are beginning with this preliminary discussion. La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. Here some people have said that la is additional, it doesn't mean anything here. We very much disagree with this point of view. There's nothing in Quran that is meaningless and absolutely additional. Everything is meaningful. The only difference is that in Arabic language there is no punctuation. Here you have to think that the punctuation is understood. A comma after la. La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. This is what is called by la munfasal. It is separate. It's not attached. If you think la uqsimu, one word, then it means I don't swear. But if it is la uqsimu, nay, I swear by the day of judgment. Now this nay means that what you think is wrong, you are doubting, but all your thinking is baseless. Nay, I swear by the day of judgment. So here this nay is very impressive, very meaningful, very eloquent. Nay, أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. I swear by the day of judgment, or by the day of resurrection. Or some of the translators, especially Allama Asad has translated, I call the day of resurrection to witness. Now in Urdu, mostly we think that يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ is the doomsday. قِيَامَةِ, we use it for the doomsday.
In Quran actually, Qiyamah is the day of the resurrection. The doomsday is As-Sa'ah, Al-Qari'ah, Al-Haqqah, As-Sa'ah, the hour. Inna Sa'ata Adha wa Amar. That time of doom, you know, when there will be a great disturbance in this universe. And all the living creatures will die. There will be a death for all. And then after some time, which we don't know how long it will be, then there will be the second Nafakatu Sur. And then there will be, all will stand up. إِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ People will stand up and they will be seeing and looking. So that قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ When the people will be standing before their Lord, this day is the يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ The day of resurrection and the day of judgment. I swear by the day of judgment. What does it mean? You have doubts about it and I swear by it. Now this is actually, as I told you, there is no argument in it. I told you at that place also when we were discussing Surah Al-Taghabun. When somebody says, well, I don't accept your claim, I say, I swear by it. What's the argument? No logical argument. But the argument is there. Who is swearing? The person, his character, his personality. If he's a person who has lived with you for 40 years, he never told a lie. How can he swear by something which is lie, which is false? So actually the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the weight of his personality, his character. That is behind it. That's the argument. I swear by the day of judgment. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ And nay, and I swear by the biting conscience, by the reproaching soul within you. This is common experience of every person. When he has committed something wrong, he finds within him something is biting. And they say, and maybe you must have said sometimes, well, my conscience is biting me. Why I did so? I shouldn't have done that. I did so out of mistake. Maybe it was a timely, emotional moment and I committed an error. But now, my own something within me, which you call the conscience. What is conscience? Conscience is something within you which reproaches you when you have committed something wrong, something unjust. When you have done something wrong to somebody, now there is something within you which is reproaching you. And this is actually a proof of what? That the human nature knows what is good, what is bad. The differentiation between ma'roof and munkar is known to human nature. And we have seen in detail that if this is a fact, the moral law, according to the words of Kant, the moral law within, if the moral law is actually, it's not baseless, it is real, it's a reality, then good must beget good, evil should beget evil. The result should come out. And the results in this world, we don't find. There are people who have no scruples. And they are living lives of luxury. They have all the amenities of life with them. They are exploiting others. They have trodden over the rights of the others. Other nations, they are exploiting nations. And they are very comfortable in this life. And there are people who dedicated their lives to something good, for public service, for service to humanity. And they had to starve in this world. Maybe they didn't have 2 square meals a day. Keep before you the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he get out of this world? And he dedicated all his life, energies, his capabilities. Everybody must, if you read Dr. Montgomery Watts, you know, the book, Muhammad at Medina, he has used all the superlatives of praise for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most intelligent. He had the understanding of the situation. He could assess the situation. He could assess people. He could know who is who. He had the best sense of using the opportunities that came his way. All these things in the superlatives. But what did he get for himself or for his family? Fire didn't burn in the hearts of his home for several days at length. And they used to starve without food. So that is actually a proof that there must be some day of judgment. There must be another life where this true result of our deeds should appear. And good should beget good and evil should beget evil. So this is actually
in an essence, this is the summary of those arguments that we have been discussing before regarding the last ruku of Surah Ali Imran. We discussed at length how from Iman Billah we proceed to Iman Bil Akhirah. And this is here in the form of a swear, an oath. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامة. Does man think that we shall not be able to gather and assemble his bones? He thinks that when I'm dead, my bones have also decayed, my flesh would have become clay and mixed with clay. How can I be resurrected? أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامة. Bala, why not? Qadirina, kunna. Here it is understood, kunna qadirin. Qadirina ala an nusawwiya banana. We have the power, we have the authority. We can not only assemble his bones, but we can reconstruct even his fingertips in the best of the way. Whole body will again be reconstructed, restructured. بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ نُصَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لَيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Now this gives an insight. Why they are denying this qiyamah? Why they are refusing to accept resurrection and the day of judgment? Because بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لَيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Man wants to continue his life of fisk and fujur. He is leading an immoral life. And he wants to continue. He is used to it. Now if he accepts Qiyamah, and if he accepts that there is going to be reward of these, he has to mend his ways. He will have to give up his luxuries, and whatever he is enjoying at this time, he will have to change himself. He will have to live this immoral life, but he wants to continue. There, that is why he is denying that there is going to be no resurrection. No result of the human deeds will appear. No life after death. That is the real cause. يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And he is asking. And this asking is actually jokingly and derisively. When will this day of judgment come? Then the answer is coming later on, and we shall study it in the next session. Now you note here, these six ayat are ending in one style. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ وَلَنْ نَجْمَعْ عِظَامَةِ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ نُصَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. فَوَاسِلْ are the same. And this gives you a sound effect. It is, although it's not poetry, it's something near to the poetry. And as I told you in the very beginning, in the first lecture, it can be compared to the blank verse of today. Not the real poetry, but the blank verse, it has some resemblance with it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.